pitch to Napoli is strike one.
You know, I've often thought that what the youth of this country could do is a legitimate outlet for its aggression. I mean, how about boxing? It really has got some very prominent advocates. Here's just one. There is no sport that so much as this one promotes the spirit of attack, demands lightning decisions, and trains the body in steel dexterity. Thus wrote Hitler in Mein Kampf, and Adolf certainly made good use of boxing to promote the Aryan cause. In the years leading up to the war, he regarded every fight by the German boxer Max Schmeling as a test of his racial theories. So when, on the 19th of June 1946, Schmeling beat the great black American heavyweight Joe Louis over 12 rounds, a Nazi journal described boxing as not only sport, but a question of prestige for our race. And another German paper at the time went even further, demanding that France, England, and white North America should celebrate a victory which had checked the arrogance of the Negroes and clearly demonstrated to them the superiority of white intelligence. But then, in June 1938,
the revenge.
Was one for his last 27 before that infield hit. So right now they've got Burnett pitching from the stretch, and the batter is Sean Rodriguez, who takes a rip at the heater. He swings and misses. Sean Rodriguez has seen taking some ground balls at third bases. Mike Socha trying to get him as close to it as possible. He's saying he didn't have a shortage of infielders. Some fans may not know that when he was in high school growing up in Miami, Florida, Rodriguez was his center fielder, but the Angels back. His skills were so advanced that they could move him to the infield.
Hitler's pitch, wrote Richard Wright, looked like a soft piece of molasses candy left out in the sun. And in Harlem, half a million people took to the streets giving mock Nazi salutes and shouting, "Heil Lewis!" Well, this extraordinary illustration of the manner in which boxing has been symbolically harnessed to racial and political divisions comes from a new book by Kasia Bodenko, Boxing, A Cultural History. Kasia is a lecturer in the Department of English at University College London, now joins me in the studio, together with Loic Racon, who's Professor of Sociology at the University of California, Berkeley, and author of Body and Soul, Notebooks of an Apprentice Boxer, to vivid account of how in the course of an ethnographic study joined a gym in the Chicago ghetto, not only fell in love with boxing, but became a boxer himself. You may remember he vividly described all that a few years ago, about 4 years ago on Thinking Aloud. Loic's going to be talking later about his new research on ghettos, but we could hardly keep him from joining Kasia in the room for the first part of the programme. Kasia, and look, all of that material, from your book, it is a fascinating study, as I think the little extract show. But there I am, saying that those joining us in the room very easily slip into the metaphor of boxing. It doesn't have something special about boxing language which allows it to stray into the room.
Yes, I think it's irresistible for journalists, for politicians particularly, and for writers. I mean, it's interesting the current American election campaign, both John McCain and Hillary Clinton talking about themselves as Rocky figures, going to go the distance.
What's
the young black fighter?
Being a Rocky figure means you just keep going despite having absolutely everything against you. It also means you're white.
It means you're white, which is the bit they don't. The subtext, I suppose.
In the case of Hillary Clinton taking up the metaphor, it's actually an unfortunate one because Rocky also lost his fight.
But they're certainly slugging it out, aren't they? Now, you interestingly bring in this idea, what I hadn't known about before, of flat.